Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
By the way, somebody listening just checked my Wikipedia page and discovered that it says I have 37 sons. I thought only Osama bin Laden had 37 sons. So there you go, Nicholson Baker. I guess we do have to take Wikipedia with a grain of salt, which, of course, I knew. But somebody added the Peabody already. We didn't do that. So, all right. The Olympic torch has had a rocky ride thus far on its world tour. Over the past week, visits to London and Paris were met with protests over China's human rights abuses and policy toward Tibet. In London, 35 people were arrested, and in Paris, the torch itself was briefly extinguished by a protester. That's almost never happened in the history of the Olympic torch, which is not supposed to go out on its journey. And now the torch has arrived stateside for its one U.S. stop, San Francisco. All signs point to even bigger protests today. Of course, it's only 8 in the morning out there right now, as the flame winds its way through the city. We all saw images of protesters scaling the Golden Gate Bridge to hang pro-Tibet banners earlier in the week. Desmond Tutu and Richard Gere are on the ground in San Francisco. And, of course, in true San Francisco fashion, there are plans for a, quote, naked torch relay run protest alongside the parade route. To update the situation and to preview what we can expect today in San Francisco is KQED reporter Scott Schaefer, host of the California Report on that public radio station. Oh, I'm sorry, is Kelly Wilkinson, host of the a reporter for KQED. Kelly, thanks for coming on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hi, happy to be with you.
Yeah, sorry to get you confused with
That's
Scott.
That's okay.
There. It's hard to get a feel sitting here for how big these protests are. What do you expect to see today, and are you seeing anything yet?
We're not seeing anything yet, although it is early in the morning. Some people, a group of Tibetan protesters are going to be marching across the Golden Gate Bridge this morning, and the city hopes that's all they're going to be doing. But, you know, we're expecting this city to be absolutely jam-packed with protesters. I mean, the route has been shortened, and the opening and closing ceremonies have been really scaled back. But still, there's just going to be thousands of protesters and thousands of supporters, too, who are being bussed in to support the torch. And the city has an enormous amount of planning and contingencies to sort of put the runners in a bubble, almost a protective bubble, so nothing happens along the lines of Paris and London. But you know, we just really don't know. A lot of the Tibetan group that organized the bridge event the other day, where they climbed up and unfurled banners, they say they have a couple more tricks up their sleeve, but they're not saying exactly what. So we'll see.
Who are the main organizers? Is it groups that are based in San Francisco, or is there a larger infrastructure that follows the torch wherever it goes now?
Well, there's definitely a degree of collaboration going on between a lot of these groups. And in San Francisco, the biggest groups have been, or the most vocal protesters have been, the Tibetan groups. And that includes a larger framework of national organizations, but also it's tapped into a lot of probably half a dozen or so local Tibetan groups. And then Darfur protesters are here as well. A lot of those are coming in from elsewhere. So it's really a combination. These are really well-organized groups. And at this point, you know, they're bringing in thousands and thousands of people. So, but as I said, so are supporters. So we'll see what happens here on the streets today.
And within these organized groups, or among them, there's no shortage of things people protest about China policy, as you know, Darfur, Myanmar, Tibet, workers' rights. How cohesive do the protests feel on the ground, or are there, in a way, lots of competing voices at play?
Well, the protests so far have felt very cohesive, but that's because they've been, each group has staged individual protests. Yesterday, there was a big rally here, as you mentioned, for Tibetan freedom with Desmond Tutu and Richard Gere. But today, I think that those groups are going to have to work really hard to get their message across rather than just have it sort of descend into chaos and be competing for to get their message out there. So that's a real question for today. Up until this point, they've been very well organized and really excellent at getting their message out there. But what happens today, you know, that could all change today. Although the groups are setting up areas along the route. It's 6 miles right now, but the city has said that's probably likely to change and could change even as the torch is literally on its run through the city. That route might be changed. But the groups are setting up in different areas to sort of have a better chance of getting their message out there.
How is the Chinese community in San Francisco, which is so large, reacting to these protests? I know some Chinese Americans here in New York who are glad they're living in the United States and not under Chinese communist rule, but they also think that some of these things are a little over the top.
Yeah, the Chinese American community here has been not nearly as vocal, obviously, as all the protesters, although the city Board of Supervisors passed a resolution the other week saying the torch should be received with alarm and protest at China's human rights record. And that really sort of galvanized the Chinese and Chinese American community here. And a lot of groups, sort of official groups and spokespeople, have come forward to say, you know, that's offensive and it's an insult and politics should be kept out of the Olympics. But some groups are saying, you know, they'll be out today and we haven't really seen or heard from them as much, but they feel that they represent the silent majority, is what they're saying, within the Chinese American community here, and that there is enormous support for this torch. I mean, this is a moment. One of the reasons the torch is coming to San Francisco is because of the Asian, the Chinese connection here. And this is a moment, it's supposed to be a moment of great pride that China has ascended into a superpower. So there's going to be a lot of supporters out there. And they've issued statements and said things that they're really proud that the Olympics are being held in China, and they can be proud of that, be proud of their heritage, while they don't agree with everything the Chinese government is doing, as they feel the same way about the American government, the U.S. government, that's their right as citizens. They can support this country and our government, but not agree with everything that the government does.
Kelly Wilkinson from KQED in San Francisco, where the Olympic torch is arriving today. And I guess to clarify, though we keep hearing, and I said it too, that the flame is extinguished, it's technically only the torch that gets put out, and the flame itself is burning eternally, which is inside the torch bus. Is that correct?
Yes, the whole layers of security surrounding the torch itself are pretty fascinating. There's the mother flame that is never extinguished, or hasn't been so far. So, yeah, that's and then all of the torches are lit from that flame.
And listeners, we have our comments page up on this, and kind of an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll question on our webpage. Should the U.S. boycott the Beijing Olympics? Should the president just boycott the opening ceremonies, as many people are calling for? Or should the Olympics just be left out of politics? Go post your thoughts at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Kelly, what about Olympic organizers? Do you think they regret their decision to have San Francisco as the one city in the United States on the torch relay? Didn't they know the people of San Francisco are probably likely to protest most anything?
I know. I think, you know, they could have seen this coming, but what they say is they don't regret it at all. That, you know, what else are they going to say though? They're saying that they expected a certain level of protest here, and they believe that San Francisco can handle it and will make room for protesters and supporters. But, you know, San Francisco has competed twice now to have the Olympics here, bid for the Olympics, and a lot of people that were behind that, you know, feel that maybe we've really shot ourselves in the foot if we ever want to try and get the Olympics again. You know, that is not likely to happen, but who knows?
Somewhere in some office in Belgium, somebody's sitting right now and saying, God, and we could have gone to Orange County. But let's add a little context to this. The Olympics have always tended to be a galvanizing event for political protest. And joining us also now to discuss the history of Olympic protest is BBC World Affairs correspondent Paul Reynolds. He just wrote a piece chronicling the history of Olympic protest. Paul, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
And I know you followed the London protests, and you see what's apparently about to happen in San Francisco. Put this in context. Is this type of protest around the Olympics common?
Well, I think the concept of protests around the Olympics is very common, though I think this phenomenon of protesting about the torch is fairly new, and it's something that protesters have been very quick to cotton on to. The traditional way of protesting in the Olympic Games is to boycott the Olympic Games. In fact, this goes back 100 years when some Irish athletes boycotted the Olympic Games in London in 1908 because Britain wouldn't recognize Irish independence. And there was a famous little incident where the American team refused to dip the Star Spangled Banner in front of King Edward VII. The captain's comment was, you know, this flag is dipped for no earthly king. And that tradition, by the way, continues. The flag is never dipped, and I presume it will not be dipped here in London in 2012. So it's an old tradition, protesting, but usually in the form of boycotts before.
Listeners, as I said, we want to hear from you on the web and also on the air. There's already a healthy discussion on the website, and we will take some of your calls on the air. Should the U.S. boycott the Beijing Olympics? Should the president just boycott the opening ceremonies, as many people are calling for, or should the Olympics be left out of politics? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Paul, to follow up, why do you think, if most of the protests have been during the games themselves historically, that things have exploded this early for these games around the procession of the torch?
Well, because the torch phenomenon hasn't always been so extensive. I mean, sometimes the flame was once, a few years ago, actually beamed up by laser through space. I mean, it was not accessible for protests. So you've had this very high visibility tour around the world, and I think it was sparked off by the recent repression in Tibet. I think this was a fire waiting to be lit, and it was lit when, on an anniversary of the uprising in Tibet some 20 years ago, there were demonstrations, and the Chinese took the decision to repress them. Now, I think the Chinese have decided to do this because control is their main policy. They have had a tremendously successful economic policy, but they have not democratized, and there's been a kind of deal in China whereby the people will not protest because they're getting richer. And any sign of protest, as you saw in Tibet, will be crushed. And this sparked off worldwide attention on Tibet.
Do you think, though, that it could backfire? Is there the possibility? I mean, I was reading one blogger the other day who wrote that, hey, folks, get a grip here. This is only going to make China crack down harder so that its people don't think that they're losing their authority.
Well, I think that's already happened, and I certainly think that's going to continue to happen. It's backfired in another way, in the sense that the Chinese wanted this cool games, the smooth games, to celebrate what they called China's peaceful rise. That has been, you know, ruined. And these pictures have some of them at least, have now beginning to filter into China. So I think the whole image of the Olympic Games in Beijing has been tarnished. And it's something that was waiting to happen and has happened.
So, Kelly, are the protesters in San Francisco today worried about this backfiring on the people, you know, on whose behalf they believe they're protesting?
Well, the message from a lot of the Tibetan groups here is really they want to pressure the IOC to change the route. I mean, right now the torch is scheduled to be run through Tibet and up Mount Everest, and that was out of yesterday's protest, really the strongest message is that they're hoping that they can change those plans so the torch won't go through Tibet, because they think that that could cause even more of a crackdown than we've seen in the last few weeks there.
And do you get any sense that there's a plan? And I realize, you know, you're just in one city where this torch and the rolling protests are coming through, but from the people you're talking to, Do you get any feeling that they're going to continue this after the Olympics? Because as one of our callers wants to say, the Olympics are a few days every 4 years, but the United States does business with China every day.
Yeah, I really, to be honest, I don't know about these groups carrying on. I mean, this is really, they're preparing for San Francisco and the groups that I've been talking to. This is the extent of their plans. You know, whether this gets picked up, I mean, obviously, as the torch has been moving around the world, it's clearly a magnet for these protests that are becoming even more raucous. So, but I know the IOC is meeting later this week to talk about whether they're going to cancel the rest of the international journey that the torch is on. So, but the protesters that I've been talking to, I mean, they're all completely focused on the torch being here in San Francisco and the protests surrounding today's run.
Paul, any lessons that you think San Francisco can learn from the experience in London when the torch passed through there and there was trouble?
Well, the biggest thing here that has caused the fuss actually here and in Paris, I think, is the presence of these Chinese guards who surrounded the torch carrier in blue and white tracksuits. Nobody knew who they were. And they formed the sort of phalanx around them. And it was only outside that the police formed their own line of moving protection. In Paris, they were on rollerblades, which I don't think helped them when the thing came to a halt and they had to try to fight off demonstrators. It's now been revealed that these Chinese guards are actually members of some military unit. And people are saying, you know, under what authority were they acting on the streets of London and Paris? Because they were physically throwing people out of the way. And I think that's, if there's any sign of those guards in San Francisco, I thought the best advice to the authorities is to get rid of them. The Australians have already said they're not going to be allowed there.
Kelly, have they taken that advice?
Well, they're not saying. They haven't been saying whether they will be here or not. It's been discussed, and we've asked a lot of questions about it, but the security plans here are really not being revealed. I mean, the details aren't being revealed. So, I mean, my sense is that they're here, and but whether the city actually uses them, I mean, the city has hundreds and hundreds of officers of their own, and California Highway Patrol and sheriff's officers, and their plan is to right now have police run alongside a torchbearer, and then beyond that there'll be a police on a bicycle, and then beyond that there'll be someone on a motorcycle. So they're planning three deep, but whether those Chinese tracksuit guys are going to be there is we just don't know. They haven't said.
Well, just by creating that as the media image, rather than the joyous scene of the torch going down the streets of San Francisco, but the torch flanked by police on bicycles and motorcycles and running marathons and whatever they're doing, obviously people are going to notice. So Kelly Wilkinson, reporter for KQED, Public Radio in San Francisco, Paul Reynolds, BBC, World Affairs correspondent in London, thank you both very much.
Okay.
Sure thing.
And we have a question out there. Should the U.S. boycott the Beijing Olympics? Should the president just boycott the opening ceremonies, as many people are calling for? Or should the Olympics be left out of politics? We've got about 75 posts on our comments page already. Our lines are full, and Greg in Manhattan is one of those lines. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I'm a big fan, by the way.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm an Australian citizen, and I really think that these Western democracies should just get the hell out of these Olympics. This will go down. These torch relays are going to go down as the second Tiananmen Square. The image of these blue tracksuited goons has to be right up there with the image of those tanks in Tiananmen Square. It is utterly ridiculous that a country like China, with the massive PR machine that it has, cannot do what post-war Japan did when it was completely burnt. And, I mean, in Japan, people were allowed to protest.
And, Greg, I'm going to leave it there and see what Russell in Manhattan has to say. Hi, Russell.
Hi, Brian. I'd like to know what moral authority any citizen of the United States, a country that has invaded another nation that was no threat to us, a country that locks people in Guantanamo, a country that has undoubtedly executed people on death row, what moral authority does any citizen of this country have to criticize Tibet, China?
So one of the things that came up from the previous guest was that people in San Francisco are saying, yeah, the United States has problems, some big problems, but at least we can hold protests like this here, which they can't even do in China. What would you say to that?
What would I say to that? I'd say that the big protest that the Tibetans have is that China builds roads into their country and gets rid of feudal systems, and they've been able to protest. They're not able to burn down stores and kill ethnic Chinese. That's what China stopped them from doing, and we would do much worse to anyone who tried anything like that here.
Russell, thank you. Thank you. Booyar in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. We should participate because, we cannot just mix politics and the sports, but I am for George Bush to make it clear to Beijing that, you know, they have to open their minds and to understand that this conflict is not going to go away because, as you know, I come from Kosovo, and we had a peaceful resistance for 15 years, and it didn't work. Then a new generation came up, and they took up arms, and things changed. So Dalai Lama, who knows how long he will be, I hope he lives forever, but a new generation of Tibetans will take up arms, and then they will be up, the Chinese government will be up for a new surprise. I'm shocked at the Chinese Americans that they take that line because I have learned in this country to live with Serbs, and, when I go back, I make sure that I influence circles there. And I teach them and I advise them how to behave and coexist with one another.
That's great.
What this country is about, Brian. It's about if you don't learn nothing, you come to this country, you don't learn nothing, you still you take the line of chauvinistic line like Chinese callers that I hear calling your show. It's regretting because China wants to be a superpower, it's okay, but a superpower comes with the strings attached.
And BR, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for all that. And John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
One thing that I've been hearing on other shows is it would actually be a precedent for the U.S. president to attend the opening ceremonies. No U.S. president has ever attended an opening ceremonies of the Olympics.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, well, you know what? We have a China expert guest coming up in just a minute after you, so we're going to try to confirm that fact. But you're saying that would mean President Bush is going an even extra mile than any president has ever gone before to recognize the country that's hosting the Olympics.
Yes, and also, just on a humorous note, it might be in the best interest for some of the athletes to boycott the Games completely just to protect their lungs. I know one prominent marathoner has dropped out already just because he just thinks it will be deleterious to his health to do that.
Or if one took performance-enhancing drugs and is about to be tested, they could say, I'm not participating in these games. I'm going home.
Yes,
John,
that's right.
Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you for calling on that. We will continue in a minute with Richard Baum, professor of political science at UCLA, former director of the UCLA Center for Chinese Studies, as we continue on this topic. And you can continue to post on the yes, no, or partly question on the web, Brian Lehrer Show, after you go to WNYC.org. Should the U.S. boycott the China Olympics in whole or in part, or just leave politics out of it?